Ayo, welcome to the Dad Will Podcast Season 2 Wrap-Up. Where do I begin? There is so much goodness happening on the show. It's just really humbling. Season 2 had a beautiful mix of painful stories, nostalgic stories, stories of redemption and reassurance, and some really cathartic, deeply reflective discussions. It really was something to be a part of them and make space for dads to really dig in and expose vulnerabilities and strengths and hopes and fears. So let's dig into a quick synopsis of the last 6 episodes. Episode 7, George calls me to reflect on my own life in just really important ways. Maybe it's the easiness of his voice or his sweet British accent, but I just really appreciated how honest he was about struggling with his own anger and frustration and patience and extrinsic versus intrinsic motivation. You know, he's the first dad I've interviewed that has 3 kids, and you know, I just don't know how he does it. I think it's pretty crazy. But I think he and his wife, before they even started running their studio or before they even had kids, I think they worked hard at establishing a foundation of mutual understanding and respect and dug right into ideas about gender norms and those sorts of things. And so I think with that baseline understanding of their roles and how they would approach being a mom and dad, I think that's how they pull it off. And it really spoke to me. I really appreciated George's long view, like so long that it was lifetimes long. And I think that's really helpful. You know, I'm not a religious person, but I do appreciate the comfort of an idea like reincarnation and having lifetimes with which to accomplish something or become something. Because I get so caught up in the minutes and hours and days of things that to take the months and years view, the decades view, that's just something I just need to do more to not freak out. And yeah, there's just something reassuring about that idea, if you can believe in it. That definitely takes the pressure off. Episode 8, Matt Rohn. This is my first musical guest, and as a DJ and musician and entrepreneur, someone who runs his own business alongside his wife, who has her own kick-ass business, I appreciate what the two of them, his wife and him, like what they've done to set each other up for success, how much they support each other and respect each other's hustle and make connections for each other. I mean, they just seem fully committed to this life of dual, independent, entrepreneurial pursuits that also have this great overlap. You know, their Venn diagram in the middle is weddings. And so it's just really nice that they're both kind of in the business together, but coming at it from different angles with totally different skill sets and this awesome respect for each other. And it was really nice to hear from someone who has such a deep and loving relationship with their dad and has so much respect for their father. It was also a real joy to flash back to some of our younger days when we were wild and in basements of clubs and sweaty dive bars. Yeah, he just has a really beautiful outlook on life. And I don't know many people that are that positive and sincere about connections and relationship building. You know, he says, I want to be the easy choice for my clients. And he does that by building relationships and delivering every single time and removing all doubt from their choice to work with him. Yeah, you got to love that about Matt. Episode 9, Charlie Smith. I mean, he's my best friend, man. What do you do when you interview someone you've known for a quarter century? I think the interview felt a lot more like two friends just riffing on life and maybe more than, you know, the proper interview where I follow a kind of narrative arc. But I'm not mad at it. I love it. And I hope that when we're real old and our kids are grown, I'll play this back and think of my man. Yeah, I don't know anybody more honest and humble and sincere and hardworking than Charlie Smith. That dude is a workhorse and just the kindest, most thoughtful friend and father I know. And it was nice to talk and reflect and goof around a bit on a call. And I don't know, maybe it was a little self-indulgent and I apologize if it feels that way, but it was different than the other interviews on purpose. This guy just keeps me grounded and I love him for it. Episode 10, John Jennings is just brilliant. I could listen to him talk all day, and just an expert at this subject matter the preeminent scholar on Black comics and Afrofuturism and popular culture as it relates to race and identity. I mean, he's just a genius. And so it's nice to know someone like that and to be able to call him your friend. And we've been talking about an opportunity to collaborate on a graphic novel for some time. And I promise you, when this thing happens, it's just going to be amazing. But anyways, you know, someone like him who's so accomplished in academia and as a media critic, yeah, I don't know how he could have had a kid before he was 48. You know, he just has so much going on. And it was just interesting to interview someone who is this wise and who has been on the planet for almost 50 years, so successful at what they do, and at the same time about to embark on something he's never done before, you know, that he has very little to draw from in terms of expertise. And it's going to put him back on his heels and call into question so many things for him in really great ways. You know, I've reached out since, because when I interviewed him, he was an expectant father. And we've talked a few times now that Jackson is in the world. And it's just great. It's great to see the little changes coming through. You know, his Instagram is now sprinkled with baby pictures, where it used to just be, you know, beautiful art and illustration from the work that he's doing. And I think he's, as a teacher, thinking about curriculum and subject matter and, you know, would he ever make kids material? And what a beautiful disruption in his life. It's cool to see it at the very beginning in this episode, as he's kind of wondering what might be. Episode 11, Michael Kaiser. This was a heavy duty episode. And I still think about the conversation that I had with Michael, even though it was recorded so long ago. This is just a man I have a lot of respect for, and not just for the crazy success he's achieved in bootstrapping Good Bear Hunting and founding this strong voice in a very crowded industry, but it's just respect for what he's done and accomplished as a dad and as a man who hasn't had a lot to draw from when it comes to modeling himself after father figure or after a successful man. And I feel like in ways he's starting from scratch, which is a disadvantage that many of us will never know. But it's proof. And I think if you're looking for someone to point to and say, well, how does this all play out when you've experienced trauma and setbacks like this? I think Michael is a perfect example of someone who has decided that this history or cycle of pain, that it ends with him, and that he is an imperfect person. There's plenty of ways that he talks about that in the interview. But I think, considering everything, he is doing a fine job as a father, a truly fine job. Episode 12, Max Wassler. Funny backstory to this episode. Max had gotten wind of Dadwell and reached out to me on social media or something to congratulate me and find out more details so that he could promote it online and talk about it and share it with people he thought it might be relevant to. And I was in the airport coming back to Chicago, and we finally found a chance to chat, and I'm waiting for my flight, and we're just sort of getting caught up. And somewhere in there, he's like, oh, by the way, I'm married and I'm a stepdad. I was like, what the hell happened? You know, and he had said I'd been kind of wanting to make media about fatherhood and stepfatherhood, and I'm still sorting a lot of that out. And I was excited to find out about Dadwell. And the more I talked to Max, the clearer it became that I had to interview him for the show. So even though, you know, 10 minutes before, I didn't even know he was a married man, let alone a dad, all of a sudden we were making plans for the interview. And so I think maybe it was the day I got back, we got that going and turned it into, you know, episode 12. And it went, you know, from this very fun conversation and kind of catching me up for the first time in a long time to him being a part of the show basically overnight. And I just think, you know, Max is another example, similar to Matt Rohn's, of a man who has profound love and respect for his dad. You know, it's not many episodes that begin with someone saying, you know, oh, my dad is my hero. He's just really good at everything. And I think Max is somebody who, you know, at 38, all of these things begin to click into place, finally. You know, he's been through all kinds of stuff, many of these things self-inflicted. And you could say, you know, good, bad, irresponsible choices, whatever. I think he's still sorting through that. But it's all led him to this point. It is who he is now. And it has prepared him, I think, to take on this role as husband and as stepdad. And you just hear his episode, and he is so pumped about being a stepfather to these young women and being part of their lives. And you hear it in his voice and in his stories. And it was just nice to talk to someone who, in some ways, is a brand new dad, but not with a newborn, like so many of us. Instead, with kind of grown kids. And it's just cool to hear the joy and play and wonder and uncertainty. And I think in ways, at 38, the confidence to be a great father to someone. I hope you get something out of these little recaps. I know it's helpful for me to look back at the 6 interviews each time and reflect on them and try to summarize my big takeaways or the feelings I have about them. I'm glad the seasons are short. It makes it a lot easier to do. And so if you're wondering where to jump in, maybe these recaps give you a starting point, you know, kind of get the too long, didn't read version of each before you decide where you might start. Thankfully, my 15-month-old is still small, you know, small but mighty. And so when she comes up to me with her arms up or grabs me around my legs and puts her face in my knees for a hug, it's really easy to just scoop her up and hold her. And I'm often cooking or cleaning or doing things and kind of have her in my arms. She's very curious. She wants to see what I'm up to. She wants to be at my level and see the world from my height. And it's funny because my son, he's certainly not jealous. There's not like a sibling rivalry there, but he sees me holding her and he'll often come around and ask to be held. And, you know, most times I'll get down on my knees or at his level and give him a big hug, but he'll make clear like, no, not a hug. I want to be held. And so I'm like, dude, you're getting big. You know, you're almost 5. You're not light anymore. But I'll scoop him up and hold him. And every once in a while I get to hold both of them and just feel like Hercules. I guess I bring all of that up because there are times when I don't feel like picking them up, you know, when it isn't convenient. You know, it could be something like picking them up from playing all day at school in the park and they're just grimy and sweaty and I just don't feel like holding a grimy, sweaty kid. Or when I'm in the middle of something and I've got to stop and put that thing down and kind of change modes to pick them up. And I don't think too much about it because in almost all those cases, I do eventually pick them up. You know, I don't shun them. But I know that one day they won't ask me to pick them up. And I don't think I'm going to do this in every season recap, but I did find another poem that I think really relates to this, and I want to tie it back to me and my own dad. So the author is unknown, but here is the last time. From the moment you hold your baby in your arms, you will never be the same. You might long for the person you were before, when you had freedom and time and nothing in particular to worry about. You will know tiredness like you never knew it before. Days will run into days that are exactly the same, full of feedings and burping, nappy changes and crying, whining and fighting, naps or a lack of naps. It might seem like a never-ending cycle. But don't forget, there's a last time for everything. There will come a time when you will feed your baby for the very last time. They will fall asleep on you after a long day, and it will be the very last time you ever hold your sleeping child. One day you will carry them on your hip, then set them down, and never pick them up that way again. You will scrub their hair in the bath for one last time, and from that day on, they will want to bathe alone. They will hold your hand to cross the road, then will never reach for it again. They will creep into your room at midnight for cuddles, and it will be the last night you ever wake to this. One afternoon, you will sing Wheels on the Bus and do all the actions, then never sing them that song again. They will kiss you goodbye at the school gate. The next day, they will ask to walk to the gate alone. You will read a final bedtime story and wipe your last dirty face. They will run to you with their arms raised for the very last time. The thing is, you won't even know it's the last time until there are no more times. And even then, it will take you a while to realize. So while you are living in these times, remember there are only so many of them. And when they are gone, you will yearn for just one more day of them. For one last time. Oh, man. These poems. Yeah, this idea that one day we will put them down and never pick them back up. that there comes a last time for all of these things. I don't know why, but that just knocks the wind out of me. And the fact that we won't even know it was the last time, because who counts those things? Who tracks that? Yeah, there's moments with my daughter where she is so annoying with food, throwing it on the floor and tossing her milk down and splashing it all over the place. And I look at my wife and I say, I can't wait until she doesn't do this anymore, you know, until she can feed herself or just put the milk down on the table and not dash it to the floor, or she can speak to us and tell us what she wants so that we don't have to guess why she's crying. And I'm so in a rush to move these things along for our own convenience and our own sanity, and because it's healthy and a normal progression as a child. But I wonder if my parents ever stopped thinking of me as a four-year-old boy. I don't know, maybe a couple years ago, my dad started giving me a kiss along with a hug. I don't get to see my parents very often because they live in Atlanta, so I'm lucky if I see them 4 or 5 times a year, 6 maybe. And so it's extra special because of the distance between us. And so when I see my dad, it's always a big, long, good hug. And I remember this moment when he turned his face and he just kissed my cheek during the hug. And it wasn't weird, and I wasn't caught off guard, and it felt natural and sweet, you know, these two bristly bearded faces touching in this really loving way. And I'm proud that we are both adults and we can do that without it being weird. And so I wonder, you know, if I feel this way about my own kids and my dad still feels that way, you know, maybe that's true. Maybe that feeling never goes away and all sorts of other things sort of stand in between acting on it, but the feeling is still there. You know, like, does he still want to hold my hand when we cross the street? Would he still scoop me up at 40? I'm not sure, but I've been thinking about it a lot lately, just how precious those moments are, and that there will come a time when I set both my kids down and I never pick them back up again. I don't know. That is just, it's kind of devastating. So I don't know where I'm going with this, but I just feel like the idea that there comes a last time for all of these things is something to try to hold in your head. And I don't think anybody's awesome at it. And I think we'll all forget, and none of us will realize, you know, that time three weeks ago or 3 months ago was the last time. I think that's just how it's supposed to go, but damn if I don't want to fight against it. Yeah. Oh, a couple of little updates on some interesting things happening with Dadwell right now. I piloted my first in-person event in collaboration with Momoko Fritz, a lifestyle photographer here in Chicago. She's been hosting an event for women called At Home with Momoko, where she makes an amazing dinner and invites a small group of women to her home and facilitates really thoughtful, interesting discussions with a thematic prompt. And so she did the first ever men's edition of At Home this month. And I joined her because I loved the concept, but also to see if there were opportunities for us to do something more intentional in the future. And it was amazing. She assembled an outstanding group of men convened from different points in their lives, but with a few shared attributes. We all were creative entrepreneurs, and nearly all of us had pre-kindergarten children. And the theme was, how do you define and achieve success while maintaining relationships, whether that's a partner or children or what have you. And the food was outstanding, tonkatsu, ramen, and peach cream puffs. But, you know, more importantly, the conversation was amazing. I'd never met these men, and some of them knew each other. But by the time we all left, we were making plans for getting together again or going camping or all kinds of things. So it was pretty amazing. And we're going to do that. We're going to do an official At Home by Dadwell and Company event and get something going, hopefully on a quarterly basis. So it'll be a paid dinner ticket and there'll be drinks and BYOB. I will be facilitating discussion in a more intimate group setting, a very beautiful and inviting home, Momoko's home, and likely inviting some guests from the show to participate. So if you're interested in that idea, keep your eyes out for details on social media. And I'm just really excited about trying to do Dadwell in real life. I'm also looking at some partnerships to do some things in health and wellness space with new dads, particularly in underserved communities where young men are about to become fathers without much support or outreach from organizations who tend to focus on preparing new mothers. So I'm looking at a few collaborations in that space to develop media and programming in service of those guys and to tell those guys' stories using Dadwell as a platform and shared place of understanding and trust and respect. So early days, but I'll be sharing everything as it takes shape. And if you read the Dadwell newsletter, you know I'm moving to a fortnightly episode, giving listeners and myself a bit of breathing room between episodes. I also don't want to lose momentum, so I'm looking to create something to act as cement between the bricks, if you will. The big interviews take a lot of time, and I want to pace them in a way that gives each one enough room to circulate, and at the same time, I'd love to create something supplemental in a different channel to fill the spaces in between. And so I'm developing new newsletter content where I profile a different Dadwell dad, but instead of a long-form interview, it'll be more like 5 or 10 quick answers to short, more tactical questions with links to their projects and the things that they're a part of creatively or as entrepreneurs and a little vignette about them. But really, you'll get their take on everything from, you know, indispensable technology and hacks that help them navigate the day-to-day of parenting to more important lessons they've learned from their father or father figures. I'm actually shaping those questions with a number of different dads, and I will start publishing that soon. So if you've got a dad that you think would be maybe better suited for a spotlight profile rather than a full-length interview, by all means, please shoot me a note or make an intro at antonio@dadwell.co. So that's it. Those are the updates for the show. I'm pretty pumped about where things are heading, and I love all the input and ideas that people are sending my way. If you're hesitant, wondering, you know, does Antonio care if I care about the show? The answer is yes. Oh my God. I care so much, and you have no idea. So ratings and reviews, like I've said on iTunes, they're important to the show's success, but an email, a DM, a LinkedIn message, that really keeps my spirits up and motivates me and matters even more. So just letting me know how you feel about the show. Maybe it's something you've learned or tried, something that's given you pause or perspective. You have no idea how incredibly helpful and rewarding it is to get notes like that. So thank you, and I will continue to keep up the good work if you continue to keep up the good work too. So cheers. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Dadwell Podcast. If you were inspired by what you heard, please take a few minutes to write a review on iTunes. As a new podcast, this helps a ton and would mean a lot to me. Dadwell is on Twitter, Instagram, Medium, and all the other relevant social networks, so visit dadwell.co to find links to all of those. While you're there, you can also subscribe to the Dadwell newsletter, check out some helpful resources and books, and even cop some fresh Dadwell merchandise. Additionally, you can support this project by becoming a patron via patreon.com/dadwell. That's patreon.com/dadwell. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Antonio Garcia, and we'll talk again soon. Cheers.